Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Welcome back, Rush Nation, to the Daily Fantasy Sport Show, covering, of course, the fan team season long. Mark, we're not live this week. We are pre-recording. So the importance of this is any questions that you might fire in, usually as we are working through the pod, unfortunately, we won't be answering them this week. I do have a social life, so I will be going to the Wigan Athletic Sheffield Wednesday game later. Mark, unfortunately, isn't as sociable as me, so would have been recording, but has agreed to do a pre-recorded pod with me. So we are, of course, back to talk about the fan team season long. Your host, Nick, as always, joined by my other host, Mr. Mark Ferguson. How are things after week 3, Mark?
Oh, I'd love to say they're good, but I think we both took a little bit of a beating this week, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
Both dropped down the standings. Our colleague Rich, Dynasty Island, he's doing really well.
Oh, flying. I think we really need to get Rich on soon because, I mean, it could become the Rich show. It could be the takeover because at one point over the weekend, Rich was leading the whole contest.
Mm. Yeah, we don't want people to find out how good he is, though, because then they'll stop listening to us. So.
No, of course not. We like to think that we're the experts, and as soon as we actually get the expert on, that could be it for us. It could just be Rich's show going forward. But no, like you said, Matt, we both took a little bit of a beating. One of which will cause a bit of a knee-jerk reaction this week for me. And I know that you are not, but it is wildcard week for me. So,
ooh.
Yeah, the horse
early
has bolted.
Yeah, yes,
the
indeed.
Horse has bolted. So it's wildcard week. We've got, obviously, coverage of that as we work through today. And we'll be looking at whatever changes you want to make to your team as well, Mark. And I know that you've got a couple in the books as well. I'm reviewing, obviously, what's happened over the weekend. Before we do move on to the team reviews, Mark, as always, just wanted to highlight to our listeners that support for the 5 Yard Rush Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. And Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for those all-important family jewels. And they've recently launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0, all across Europe. Many great features with this tool, not least the fact it's designed for the specific purpose of protecting that all-important male area. So do yourselves a favor. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. With this exclusive offer that we've got for you, you will get 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code 5YARD, and that is at manscaped.com. So get yourself over to manscaped.com. Code 5YARD and you will receive 20% off and free worldwide shipping. Do not miss out on this offer. Fantastic tool indeed. Mark, we'll move on to the week 3 review. I keep losing count on what week we're actually on, but week 3, the weeks are flying by.
Lost count at three.
To be honest, I've done well to get this far.
You work in finance. You should lose count of three.
So, as you can see, there is a lot of upset with this team this week. And this is what has forced my hand a little bit with the wild card. Just a lot of things I'm not happy about, Mark, with it, if I'm being honest. My better performances this weekend have come again in either showdown games or I didn't do too well in the red zone and the fumble games on Sunday, but this team is now my second best performing team. But I'm fluffing it up a little bit there. I've dropped in the rankings down to 505 with this team, whereas I entered last week at 200 something. Can't remember exactly what it was. But not happy with any of the receivers, really. Lamb, I expected a big game from against Philadelphia, especially if Cooper was potentially out, but he wasn't. He was back. But none of the receivers there in Dallas really did all that well against Philadelphia, except the tight end, who we will come to, Dalton Schultz. But the receivers were a little bit indifferent in the performance. Stephon Diggs, he's been steady scoring, Mark, but I've been quite disappointed with him, if I'm being honest, all season that I've owned him so far over the 3 weeks. He's 12.2 is his worst performance in fairness. Prior to that, he put up a 15.9 and a 16, but I think because of his price tag, I expected more, and because of what we saw last season, I expected a bit more from him as well. I mean, you look at the scoreline over the weekend against Washington, and if you'd have looked at that scoreline in isolation, you'd have assumed that Stephon Diggs would have had a big day. 12.2 is just not enough for me.
No, it's Beasley and Emmanuel Sanders got all the points, didn't they, the weekend? Mm. And even Dawson Knox, one of our favourites going back to last year, Knox got a touchdown as well. You were pretty unlucky, though, because that Washington defence is awful, especially the pass game. Mm. It's a real pass funnel defence, and it's probably a defence we want to target going forwards until they change. I think they're something like the fifth best against the run and 31st against the pass at the moment. So,
yeah.
And I'll come on to that later, actually, when talking about my team, because I was expecting, like a lot of people, the Washington defense to be a strength, and it's definitely a weakness at the moment. So you're really unlucky with that, Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's a top receiver. But the problem for him is there's been so many other good receivers around him around his price range doing so well.
Mm. Yeah.
He just doesn't look like value anymore.
Yeah. And below, for that matter, you can actually save yourself money and drop $1.5 million, $2 million below, and you're getting mega production out of receivers like Cooper Kupp and Tyler Lockett thus far as well. Mike Williams, Thielen, players like that. So, and even some of the higher price receivers, the likes of Devontae Adams at 19.5, he's up there in the scoring. You know, Justin Jefferson crept up there this week as well. Tyreek Hill's still up there. So I've been really disappointed so far with Diggs. Rondale Moore was a speculative pick anyway. He was in there for the upside. We said this last week, Mark, off the back of that big week that he had. He was coming in this week just purely off the fact that he did have upside. He was a little bit cheaper. He falls into that bracket of 12 million or less. But yeah, did not like it. Again, Arizona's offense seems variable in a sense that one week to the next, you could be getting points from Hopkins, you could be getting points from Christian Kirk, AJ Green. It could come from Rondale Moore one week. One week, it could come from the committee backfield of James Conner, Chase Edmonds. You might get a week where Kyler Murray goes off for 45 and he's run two of the touchdowns in himself. So it's a difficult offense to read, I think, Arizona. One thing I would say is I've not actually been that impressed with them after this week. The first week, I was very impressed. The second week and last week, not as much, actually. I think, well, up to a point in that Jacksonville game, they really looked like they were struggling. It looked a bit like the Arizona that I saw last season. Obviously, I see quite a bit of Arizona because of the NFC West, but it looked to me like they can look really convincing and really good in some games, and then in others, not so much. And that's what they look like to me this week. I know in the end, they did run away with the game. The play that changed it for me was the defensive touchdown that they ran in. So, yeah, I'm moving off Rondale Moore this week, hence the crying face there. I haven't put a crying face on Kyler Murray because 18.54 still isn't, it's not an awful week from a quarterback. It's not what you want given the actual price tag, but it's not awful. The running backs is a sad story. Christian McCaffrey hobbling off with a hamstring injury. We don't like to see that. It does open the door, though, for next man up. So we'll come to that a little bit later on. Tyson Williams dropped off a cliff, which was always the danger. He still got some touches. He was just a little bit ineffective with the touches that he did have. DeAndre Swift, I was pleasantly surprised with. Tough defense there in Baltimore. But Detroit don't look bad. they don't look bad at all, other than the heroics of Justin Tucker with a 66-yarder bouncing off the bottom of the crossbar, the sticks. It's a win for Detroit. So very unfortunate there. But one thing that I did like what I saw is that Swift continues to be involved out of the backfield. He's obviously heavily involved in the running game. There is the threat of Jamal Williams is there, but for me, it doesn't really hamper Swift too much. He's still getting his receptions. He's still getting his rushes out of the backfield. So no concern there. And I think actually, if you're going to pay around 16, 17 million still for a running back, I think he's one of the ones that offers the best value at that price range. Minnesota's defense, I've put a crying face there, but I can't be too disappointed really with the price tag. There's going to be weeks where that's up and down. But something that I am actually going to change on my wildcard mark, I know we've said about defense is not investing too much, and I'm not. But I am stepping it up slightly, and I'm going to go with one of the 10 million defenses on my wildcard.
Wow. The Minnesota scored 22 points, I think, the week before, didn't they? So it all just shows the variability of it. We mentioned the Jacksonville defense last week on the pod, and then obviously when we mentioned it, we knew they were going to score a 109-yard touchdown. Oh, so you know, these it's so random defense. The Tyson Williams thing is interesting because even last week we were like, it's a risk, it's a gamble, because we talked through that. And he just vanished, and his snap count was really small comparison with Latavius Murray's, wasn't it, in the end?
Yeah.
Swift, DeAndre Swift, he's just looking like he's a top fantasy option now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Even with Jamal Williams in there, it's got a little bit of the Aaron Jones about it, in the fact that people are often reluctant to take Aaron Jones because he never has the same snap counts of a Derrick Henry or McCaffrey or Kamara. But he still manages to produce the same number of points because he gets opportunities when he's in there, and when he does, he usually produces.
Yeah.
And DeAndre Swift has that feel about him, I think, doesn't he, at the moment?
I think what I'm liking about Swift as well is, well, a couple of things. His ownership is still really low. He was 1% following the weekend, which is, if he has good weeks, it's a great variable. 16 mil is on the cheaper side of some of the top starting running backs that you can get. But what I like about it, he's very efficient with the work that he gets. So in week two and week three, Swift's actually been carrying a bit of a knock if you've been reading all the reports leading up to the games. So week two, he had 36 snaps. Week three, he logged 35. He's being very efficient with the workload he's being given, and it's nowhere near a running back one workload at this stage. I think as his health improves, and hopefully it does continue to improve, he'll see a higher percentage of the snap count, and we'll see more work from him, more involvement, both from the backfield and out of the backfield. So I really like that 16 million Swift. He's going absolutely nowhere in my wildcard team, staying put.
Yeah, I do. I really do like him. The McCaffrey thing's interesting because he's 56% owned there, and I suspect most people are going to transfer him out this week for Derrick Henry, I suspect. So he's already 20-odd percent owned. So I think we're going to end up with a very highly owned Derrick Henry. So if you need to catch up with people, I do wonder whether or not you should go a different route and stuff than that. And Swift could be part of that. So that's interesting.
Yeah. And that is week three for me, Mark.
Okay. I shall try and use the tech again. Here we go. I haven't got any flashy emojis on mine like yours.
Just amateur hour.
There you go. So what I really need to talk about here is, you've already mentioned about McCaffrey. We've got some players the same, etc. But last week I transferred in Waller, Osborne and Moore. And I took out Conklin, Kamara and Watkins. Waller, Osborne and Moore scored a grand total of 17.4 points. Conklin himself scored 20-odd points. Kamara got around 19, I think it was. So it doesn't really matter what Watkins did. Basically, they might be some of the worst transfers in the history of this game. I basically halved the amount of points my players were going to get. So there you go. That explains why I've dropped down to 237 this week.
Well, you just knew it was going to happen this week, Mark. The week I took Marquez Callaway out for Rondale Moore. Mm. Marquez Callaway goes and bags himself a 14.1 score. What have we been saying since the very start of this contest? Patience.
And neither of us
patience.
So and neither of us showed it last week. Yeah, neither of us showed it last week, and you're going to wild card this week. So there you go. Do as we say, not as we do. Yeah. So in terms of the rest of the team, so Osborne was a sort of non-factor in the game plan. It all went to Conklin. Rondale Moore was Christian Kirk week. Basically, the 3 weeks have gone. You know, Christian Kirk week, Rondale Moore week, Christian Kirk week. So hopefully week four he'll be good. It was his snap count though really dropped off this week, didn't it, Moore's? Now I'm presuming that's game plan related. So maybe he's not the bargain that we thought he was, especially as there's other options opened up, and specifically a running back for a similar price as well, I think. So that's something to keep an eye on. I'm doing transfers this week, but he's not going this week. I'm going to, you know, they're playing, who are they playing? It's the Rams. It's a tough game. Yeah, they got the Rams. So I might even keep him after that because that's going to be a tough game for them anyway. But we'll see. Ridley, he's definitely one potentially who could be going in the next couple of weeks because Atlanta offense just hasn't looked good. It really hasn't, especially not for the receivers. I think probably only Cordarrelle Patterson is probably the only player worth his value at the moment for Atlanta. I'm now kind of, there's a part of me who thinks that they can't carry on this badly, but, you know, they could. Who knows? I mean, just part of me, but there's, you know, my gut instinct says he won't be that bad, but, you know, it's a new offense this year and stuff. So maybe this is as good as it gets for them at the moment and stuff. So we'll see. He's not coming out this week just because of lack of transfers. And also they're playing Washington this week, I've already spoken about, as a team we should target in the past game. But yeah, for week five, he's definitely going to be in consideration. Cooper Kupp's a superstar. He's not going anywhere. I played a lot of Robert Woods in my other DFS contests, hoping to get some leverage off of Kupp, but that was pointless. And he just keeps producing, doesn't he? I don't need to tell you.
Unbelievable. Yeah. What a bargain. I really wish I'd have started with Cooper Kupp. I don't know why. Well, I do know exactly why I didn't, because I think we were both expecting new quarterback to come in, the ball to probably be spread about a little bit until he finds his favourite target. Robert Woods is the chain mover. You know, we were expecting a little bit more from Higbee after a quiet season last year, but he finished the season before really strongly. Van Jefferson involvement, DeSean Jackson coming in. So that was the only thing putting me off. But I don't know why Cooper Kupp wasn't in my team since the start at that price range, 60 million. We said from the start, Mark, that he's got the potential to be a top 12, top 15 receiver this season. Scratch that. He's got the potential to be a top 5 scoring receiver this season with the way he's going. And he's everything that we've said since the start. He's a PPR machine. He's a red zone target. Just if you're going to go and do one thing this week, go and try and fit Cooper Kupp into your team.
Yeah, and who are they playing? I've just spoken about it, haven't I? They're playing Arizona, who are pretty friendly defense as well. So I think Higbee did well as well this week, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. You only have to look at the run. You know, Cardinals, like you said, Seahawks on the road, Giants, Detroit Lions, Houston Texans, Tennessee Titans. It's such a good run of games that he's got. Go and grab yourself some Cooper Kupp. Maybe go and grab yourself some Tyler Higbee as well. Tyler Higbee looked quite impressive.
Yeah, that's what we were expecting at the beginning of the season. And, you know, you talked about the patience thing. You know, the first couple of weeks, we're saying to ourselves, this isn't necessarily how the season's going to go. This isn't how the season's going to go. But then when we made some of our stands in week three, I definitely felt like, you know, we got enough data to make some stands, but we clearly hadn't, because this week was quite a shocking week in many ways, respects. I think as long as Stafford stays healthy and Kupp stays healthy, you know, I can't see why this run would particularly, you know, end. Because mm-hmm. he's he's clear as number one. Anybody who picked out the this was the DeSean Jackson breakout week, then well done on that. Classic best ball play, and I think I've got him in the FFCC, so that's helped me. But I wouldn't be bringing him into my season long team at the moment, no matter how good the Rams are looking. So yeah, so that's kind of me for the week, I think. There you go.
In terms of changes for the week coming up, Mark, because I feel like I've got a slightly bigger segment this. Yeah, because mine is wholesale changes, but I know that you are choosing not to use your wild card this week. I know that you had considered it, Mark, because we've discussed it. So what is it that's made you not want to use the wild card this week?
Well, so we've discussed various types of construction, haven't we, as well? Mainly based around pricing of quarterbacks and stuff, whether you play a Tyler Heinicke or a more of the expensive quarterback. And to be honest with you, I looked at them all and it was there was plus sides for both. I didn't look at any particular type of line and think this looked better than any other type. So to be honest with you, partly that and also partly because of the fixtures coming up this week, I'm not changing. Like Ridley, I do want to get rid of Ridley, because I just don't think, until he proves anything different, but they're playing Washington, so I've got to keep them in. I don't want to necessarily, I want to give Rondale Moore and JT Osborne another chance as well, so there's no point. I'm happy with the rest of my team. But what I am changing is my running backs, because McCaffrey's injured, and Joe Mixon's receptions have kind of dropped down a little bit the last couple of weeks as well. So he's fantastic the first week, he looked like great value, he's going to be the Joe Mixon we've been wanting for years. And that happened in week one, but hasn't really happened. And conversely, Eckler, who was in my very first lineup for my first team, his reception game, after a really poor first week with only one reception, he's been just a big part of their passing game. So the only thing I'm going to keep an eye on with Eckler, though, is I saw something about Herbert might have hurt his hand or something or got injured towards the end of the game. So it's very dependent on him. If try to remember who I wanted to put in. If I don't do Eckler, I might be Swift, actually. I think if Eckler doesn't come in, I'll probably use Swift. Oh, no, Aaron Jones I'll put in. Sorry, not Swift. I'd put Aaron Jones in, but I'm going to stay with Eckler at the moment because he's on a good week, he's a PPR machine.
Yeah.
And Derrick Henry is an obvious choice at the moment. I kind of almost talking myself out of it as recording this pod because thinking, you know, as I've mentioned, McCaffrey's ownership, I imagine, is all pretty much going to go to Derrick Henry, I would have thought, because he's so far ahead of everybody else points-wise. So I might talk myself out of that before the week. But this is where it stands right now. Henry and Eckler are coming in. And the rest of it I'm going to run with. Next week, I'll look at Ridley to see if I think if there's any signs of life in that Atlanta offense.
Yeah.
If there's not, he's going to come out. And we've got loads of options for wide receivers, haven't we?
Absolutely, yeah.
It's crazy. So yeah, that's my team, really.
Nice. Yeah. I love the little yellow box around the running backs as well, Mark. They're stepping up your game this week.
You did that, I think, the other week, and I worked out how you did it. So there you go. That was that. So not much for me to change on that. I've got my other teams need a little bit more work, I think. For the pod team, that's all I'm doing.
Yeah, nice, and can't really complain or disagree with either of those moves, because a couple of the players that you've mentioned, the Austin Eckler, Derrick Henry, very much in my thoughts on this wildcard. So without further ado,
I'm looking forward to this.
Here we go. So now there is actually two proposed wildcard teams as it stands at the moment. So this is one of them. There isn't a massive difference between the two. It's only two players. So I mentioned last week about Hockenson. Didn't have a great week in week three, actually.
What a surprise.
He came out with an absolute duck of a score, 3.0. But for me, I don't think I'm taking that as an off week over anything else, Mark. I think he will still be... I think at bare minimum, I think we're looking at a top five tight end come the end of the season there. And at 15 million, he's a lot cheaper than some of the other higher priced tight ends. I don't think there'll be that much. You know my thoughts on Darren Waller, but I don't think there'll be that much disparity score-wise between the likes of him, Kittle, Waller come the end of the season. Travis Kelce's another story. You know, Kelce's being Kelce every single week, as we've seen already. Across the receivers...
Oh, before you go into receivers, can we just talk about Dalton Schultz, though?
Oh, of course, yeah. Dalton Schultz from last night's game, yeah.
Yeah, $9.5 million. Now, like yesterday's last night's game was his highest scoring week, but he's a part of one of the best fantasy offenses in the league, and he's 9.5 million. He's a really great option, I think, if you're wildcarding or if you're just looking to take some money from out of the tight end position.
And you know what? At 9.5, he becomes the enabler of your team.
Mm.
So, again, Dalton Schultz, I think prior to his injury last season, Mark, well, Blake Jarwin went down early, didn't he? And Dalton Schultz had a really good run of games at one point. So, clear that Dak Prescott likes him. And I actually started Dalton Schultz in my Dallas Eagles showdown slate last night on Fan Team. And I actually, it's the only reason I think that I ended up finishing 13th out of the field, was because I had Dalton Schultz there, whereas a lot of people probably went down the Amari Cooper, CD Lamb route, or they went bigger at running back with Zeke Sanders, who obviously Zeke had a big game. But I think we always talk about enablers, Mark, and you can see that in this team, my enabler is Chuba Hubbard at 9.5. Now, he's quite easy to change further down the line to a Dalton Schultz at 9.5 at tight end. Hockenson then could quite easily become a 15 million receiver.
Yeah.
Or potentially a running back if one has emerged at that stage at that kind of price. But 15 million at receiver at the moment is getting you the kind of players like Deebo Samuel. It's getting you the Mike Williams. It's getting you Sterling Shepard. It's getting you Emmanuel Sanders. So there's definitely production there at that price range, but I think, especially with McCaffrey going down, I think I'm happy for the time being, because it looks like it's going to be a few weeks anyway until he's back. They're not putting him on the injured reserve list, but it looks like he's going to be out a few weeks. And I suppose with a hamstring injury, the last thing you want to do when it's someone like McCaffrey who's had injury history in the past, don't want to rush him back. Chuba Hubbard looked all right when he did come into the game, and he has had his touches even in games where McCaffrey has been healthy. So 9.5 there for a starting running back, and 15 mil for what I know I'm getting from Hockenson, who, despite his off week, is the top target in Detroit. I'm happy probably to roll with that initially, but I think going forward, a move to Dalton Schultz and then a move to either a 15 million running back or a 15 million wide receiver or less would definitely be in my thoughts. Yeah. I think that I'm just waiting to see whether there is a bit of a drop off or whether there's an emergence from some other players. Mm. You know, Jacoby Myers had a big week this week. You know, Devonta Smith is there at that price range. Does he step up? Deebo Samuel had another, well, it wasn't a pretty good week. He only scored 10.2, but not bad. You know, he's obviously still a big part of that offense there. So there's a few that I've got my eye on around that price tag. Hollywood Brown as well. So,
but Mr. Drops.
Yeah, despite
three touchdowns.
Despite his down week this week.
Three touchdowns dropped. Unbelievable. And then,
You've got the, you know, you've, if you want to look a little bit cheaper on the spectrum though, you've got Jalen Waddle at 14.5 as well. You've got Cole Beasley at 14.5. Hunter Renfro really seems like he's a pretty big part of what is happening through the air in Las Vegas this season. 11.5, so it saves a lot of funds there. Definitely something that I'll keep an eye on and monitor going forward, because if it looks like Dalton Schultz is going to continue getting the majority snaps in the tight end position, and it's a team we know uses its tight end, going back to, you know, when they had Jason Witten there, you know, definitely something I will consider. But for the time being, Hockenson. Across the receivers, I feel like, well, Cup doesn't really need much of an introduction at this stage. It's quite obvious why he's in the team. A couple of the other inclusions I just wanted to touch on, Mark. So I've included Mike Williams there, who has started the season like a house on fire. It's quite clearly Mike Williams' breakout season, it seems. So he's posted scores of 22.2, 22.1 and 33.2. But he's got four touchdowns, and I'm thinking, is this the same old touchdown-dependent Mike Williams? And it doesn't seem like it is. 295 receiving yards so far on the season. He's only actually about 15 yards behind Devontae Adams. He's had 22 receptions, which is only three behind Cooper Kupp, who's a reception machine at the moment. So he's clearly being targeted by Justin Herbert. 15 mil. For me, I think of the two, if you were saying who would you rather own over the course of a season, I'd probably rather own Keenan Allen. But to save 2 million, I'd rather own Mike Williams. And he's quite clearly having a big impact in that offense. So 15 million, I think he's probably the best receiving option at the moment at that price range. If I could find the extra 0.5 and I was happy with it, I'd potentially be considering Brandon Cooks as well, just simply because of the body of work that Brandon Cooks is getting at Houston. But again, very similar to Mike Williams. One thing that Cooks isn't getting is more so the touchdowns, but he is getting the yardage and he is getting the receptions. Chris Godwin makes up the trio of receivers that I've got. This is a bit of an eye test one. I just like what I'm seeing from Brady and Godwin. I think he's got a really good partnership with him, a good relationship with him. I think more so Godwin than Mike Evans. Mike Evans at times on the sideline looked really upset that the ball wasn't coming his way, which probably means that Mike Evans is going to have a big week either next week or the week after. And my only fear with what is in Tampa Bay is that there's a lot of mouths to feed there. You've got Antonio Brown, you've got Mike Evans, you've got Chris Godwin, we've got Gronkowski. But it seems to me that Chris Godwin is the true number one receiver there. And I think when Brown is fit and healthy, I think Brown will obviously have involvement in the passing game there as well. Brady clearly likes Antonio Brown from what we've seen from the first couple of weeks. But Chris Godwin, I think, is the most dependable of that group based on what we've seen thus far and based on the work that he's getting. So again, 19 receptions, that's average of just over six a game, 241 yards. So over the three games, we've got an average there of around 80 yards a game, and he's two touchdowns, so he's not far off actually averaging a touchdown a game as well. So I'm quite happy with that from the 16 million. There is obviously a few other receivers at that 16 million price range as well, who I've had CD Lamb in my team in recent weeks. You know, Tyler Lockett's there at that price range, but I think Tyler Lockett went off with a bit of a knock or got injured in that game. Jamar Chase is lighting the world up in Cincinnati, but does feel a little bit more touchdown dependent than some of the others that we've talked about. So yeah, Chris Godwin, feel quite confident with that, Mark. I don't know what you think of those three receivers though that we've gone with.
Well, I mean, I agree entirely about Cup. The Williams thing, I don't think this is a flash in the pan. I think actually he's probably going to, if he stays healthy, he's going to outproduce Keenan Allen, I think. So for the savings, I think he's the way to go. There's times with Williams at the moment, he looks like a man against boys at times. He really does. And that doesn't always translate into fantasy production, but it is at the moment. Also, actually with the scores, him and Cup have kind of got a gap to the third space. You know, Cup's got 91 points, Williams got 77, there's down to 64. And then they're all kind of very close. So I feel like, you know, for 3 weeks, those two are really sort of jumping ahead of everybody else. The Godwin thing is interesting because I've been really desperate to get some pieces of Tampa Bay into my team because they produce so many fantasy points. Mm. But you just don't know who it's going to be each week. And I'm sure over a season, it's still going to be a better option than a lot of the other pieces around the same price, but it just makes it, it's it just makes you feel uncomfortable almost, doesn't it? Is it, like you say, next week's going to be Mike Evans' week, and they're going to New England, and Brady's going to throw, he's not going to run. They're just going to throw because he's got that record to go for as well.
And there's the fact that there's basically no running game to speak of at the moment in Tampa Bay. So all the work is through the air. You look at the schedule, which is another thing I'm targeting here with Chris Godwin. New England on the road, a bit of a revenge game for Brady, I suppose. Miami Dolphins at home, Eagles on the road, Bears at home, Saints on the road, Washington on the road, New York Giants at home. There's a lot of potential high scores there. And like you said, the only concern, I suppose, with Godwin is those high scores could be Mike Evans 1 week, it could be Godwin the week after, it could be Antonio Brown, it could be Gronk. But I think because of the lack of running game, even on weeks where Chris Godwin maybe won't get targeted as much as Mike Evans might get the targets 1 week, Antonio Brown might get the targets 1 week, even on his lowest scoring game of the season so far, he still had 4 receptions, 62 yards and a touchdown. And it's almost like you can't ignore anyone from the Tampa Bay offense, because if you ignore a Chris Godwin, if you ignore Evans, if you ignore Brown, you're leaving one of the others open. So I think it is a risk, but I think I do want exposure to that offense. And just from what I've seen thus far, Godwin feels like the most reliable of the group.
Yeah, I completely agree. There's a few teams that I want to try and get as much exposure to I'll try and sort that with some other transfers and stuff. But Tampa Bay is definitely one of them. And it's amazing how many fantasy points they produce. Although, just something that occurred to me just a little bit earlier when you're talking is how, and this is slightly off topic, but how many fantasy points are Detroit producing at the moment, which is just amazing. You know, Hock had his really bad week and he's still third. Then you've got Swift's third, and you've also got Jamal Williams is in on the first page of points as well for Detroit. And I doubt they've got any receivers. It's just, who'd have thought that they'd be a team we'd be talking about in the same way as like a Tampa Bay or a Dallas and stuff, in terms of you need pieces from that offense.
Yeah, I guess because there are standout pieces like Hockenson, like Swift, and in most games, I mean, they've been in most games that they've played this season. We've only played 3, but they've been in the games and they've been chasing the games. So what we know is, in terms of what that means fantasy-wise, it means that there's going to be points there, going to be points to have. And I think because, like you just said, with the receivers, there isn't really anyone of note amongst the receivers that can be relied on week to week. The only two pieces really you can rely on are Swift and Hockenson, really. But Jared Goff's still producing the points there.
I think you briefly mentioned this, but Jamar Chase, I think, might be a little bit of fool's gold at the moment. If in the last 2 weeks he's had 6 receptions and 3 of them have been for touchdowns.
Yeah.
And that will be otherworldly if he continues like that. Now, don't get me wrong, he looks great and I think it's a good sort of DFS play. So if you're playing the super red zone or whatever it's called, in the fumblers, whichever one they're in, I think he's a good play for that sort of thing. But for season long, he's just not getting the volume that I think a lot of these other guys are around him. I do like him. I think Devontae Adams, after a slow couple of weeks, is sort of waking up. I think, but he's a lot more. He's a lot higher priced than anybody other than you would have to lose Mahomes to get him in, I think. Yeah, and I think, one thing which, there's a few things which have sort of kind of stayed the same, haven't they? And the fact that for Seattle, it's either Lockett or Metcalf. And it happened to be Metcalf week this week. It'd be Lockett week the other previous two. And I think that's something you can look at as well. I think Lockett's cheapest. I do wonder if you need to catch up on other people, whether some stacking for a team like Seattle or Tampa Bay is a good idea. Because there are weeks where they both produce, these players, you know, both Godwin and Evans do well, or Godwin and Brown do well.
Yeah.
And same with Metcalf and Lockett. I'm just wondering if you need to catch up, if that's a good idea. In terms of disappointment, so Tyreek Hill's been a bit disappointing so far, especially the last 2 weeks. He scored like 37 points the first week, and then the last 2 weeks he's done nothing. I'm guessing that means he's probably due against Philadelphia this week, now that I've said that. But yeah, I think as a whole, that whole offense isn't, from a fantasy point of view, has been a little bit disappointing to me so far.
Yeah. I think the only part of it that hasn't really been a disappointment is Mahomes, when you look at his scoring week on week. So the reason I've got Mahomes in is, obviously, I had Kyler Murray in, Mark, and I know you have Murray. Reluctantly taking Murray out because his run of games coming up is the Rams on the road, the Niners at home, and the Browns on the road. And it's not to say that I think Murray's going to have bad fantasy weeks there. I just don't think he'll be quite as explosive as he's been in other weeks. He's had quite a kind start to the season, can we say, with the Titans, the Vikings, the Jags. I think he's coming up against some sterner defenses in the weeks ahead, which is exactly why I've gone with Patrick Mahomes. Having $20 million invested into my quarterback, I feel like I still just want the flexibility to be able to move to any quarterback I want at that price, because they are, you look at the high scorers in this format, and outside of Cooper Kupp, who absolutely shockingly is leading the way at the moment amongst all scorers, you've got Tom Brady, Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes are the next three. So the quarterbacks are the big scorers in this kind of format usually. There will be outliers there, like we've seen with Kupp, but come the end of the season, I've no doubt those three will probably still be near the top. And what I like with Mahomes, again, I'm targeting a run of fixtures here. So we've got Eagles on the road. We've got Buffalo at home. We've got the Washington's football team on the road. We have the Titans on the road, Giants at home, Packers at home. I think there's some really good matchups there for Patrick Mahomes. I wouldn't be surprised to see over the next 6 weeks, minimum sort of three touchdowns a game with maybe two or three interceptions sprinkled in over that period. And you're looking sort of consistently 250, 300 plus yards per game. So the lowest score he's put up so far is a 22.9 this past week. I don't think any of his scores are going to be less than that over the next 4, 5, maybe 6 weeks, in all honesty. And like I said, that 20 million there, it's a lot to invest in a quarterback. However, it does give me the flexibility to move off and move on to someone like a Kyler Murray when the time comes, when his fixtures clear up again from around week 7 onwards. He's got a nice run. So maybe I do jump back on Murray at that point, but I don't really want to go finding the funds from elsewhere at that time. I'd rather just still have it locked up in that position. But another one I have got my eye on is Matt Stafford, for obvious reasons. We just mentioned about stacking there, Mark. I think if you're going to have a Cooper Kupp in your team, if Cooper Kupp's going to do well, that's because Matt Stafford has probably had a good game there. He's not scored as well as Mahomes so far, but again, a nice run of games with some pass-friendly defenses coming up. Obviously, this, what you're seeing on the screen now, isn't my finalised wildcard. It's just my proposed wildcard at this stage. And I will show an alternative in a few minutes, Mark, that actually has a different quarterback in there in Matt Stafford. But yeah, for the time being, I think Mahomes is the route that I probably would go.
Did you consider at all Josh Allen at 20 million? Because he's come out of his slumber a little bit, as is the whole, I mean, Washington defense will do that to you, but as all the whole of the Bills. He's got Texans, Chiefs, who are very bad pass defense, Titans, Dolphins, Jags, Jets, Colts, Saints. You know, I mean, I'm getting to almost the end of the season now. Josh Allen's schedule looks pretty good, and he looked pretty vintage Josh Allen at the weekend. So he's the same price as Mahomes. I don't know. I think he might be my preferred option at the moment if I was going to spend 20 million.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely a consideration. I think what we saw this past week is more what we expect to see from Josh Allen. I've still got just a little little niggling doubt from the first couple of weeks, I suppose, there. But yeah, great run of games, and someone that, again, if I did move off Mahomes and I was looking to move on to another quarterback, then even if it is for three or four games, I think after the next few weeks, and I know he's got Houston and Kansas coming up, but then beyond that, you know, that run of games where it's the Dolphins, the Jags, the Jets, the Colts, that is a really appealing block of four games to me. So that could be a move that I make rather than moving back to Murray. I mean, I could roll with Allen. This, again, is not a finalised wildcard, but whoever I roll with at quarterback will absolutely be a premium quarterback, I think, unless I go with option two, which I'll come to shortly. But then in the running backs, DeAndre Swift, we've already spoke about Swift. I think he is one of the best value for money running backs on the board. Austin Eckler, for much the reasons you mentioned, Mark, sees a lot of work in the passing game as well, Eckler, which is why I really like him. I think if you can get a running back in this format that excels at PPR, it's those kind of running backs that do see target share. You know, expect to see, and well, he's ranked second on the board at the moment, Aaron Jones. That is not, I know he's got that outlier week in week two, but that's not really a shock, because most weeks, week one, Green Bay were awful against the Saints. But most weeks, you're going to see Aaron Jones getting work out of the backfield, because that's what Green Bay do. They, you know, they spread the ball. Adams will get most of the targets. Beyond Devontae Adams, you've then got Aaron Jones, Tonyan, Valdes-Scantling pops up every now and then. Alan Lazard pops up every now and then. But more often than not, the wide receiver two or three there is Aaron Jones. So I think he is definitely a good option at 17.5. I'd rather save the 0.5 and go to Austin Eckler, though, personally, at this stage, because I just think, again, run of games coming up, Raiders, Browns, Ravens, Patriots, Eagles, Vikings, not too difficult a run of games in terms of friendliness in either receivers or running backs for that matter. But seems really, really involved at the moment in his team's offense, which is exactly what you like to see from a running back in PPR.
Indeed. I think there's a couple of surprises. Like, we've already talked about Swift being a surprise. I think Kareem Hunt being so high as well is a bit of a surprise. I think he's outscoring Nick Chubb. Obviously, Cordarrelle Patterson is a complete surprise. And do we think this is sustainable? He was really, really involved at the weekend. It's another six receptions, another five a week before that. Yeah, so he's another enabler, potential enabler, if you want to go that route and stuff. I can't imagine his ownership is very high. It's 3%. Yeah, but kind of everybody you expected to do well is kind of doing well, I think.
Yeah.
I think, having a quick look, I mean, Dalvin Cook was injured, so that will explain him being so far down. Jonathan Taylor doesn't look very good this year, or that, no, or in that offense. Fantasy-wise, he's not looking very good this year. Yeah, and Antonio Gibson basically got almost a third of his points on one, over a third of his points on one play this year. So he was a much touted player before the start of the season, but there's something not right in Washington at the moment. So yeah, I think nobody else down there is really worth while. So yeah, I think I like it. The Hubbard one, I'll be interested to see with that one. Right now, if you had, is that use up all your money? This, I would call, so you could change your defense if you need to. I mean, I'd be tempted to pick up Cordarrelle Patterson in at the moment instead of Hubbard, but yeah, could be. You know, he could be like you said, he could be great for a few weeks whilst McCaffrey's recovering, and then you could swap him out for a cheaper tight end. So
it actually gives me 0.5 in the bank. One of the ways I could have done this was I could have put Sony Michel in. I thought Sony Michel looked pretty good. He's a hard running back. Sony Michel, he looked pretty good against Tampa Bay. But I don't know how long it's going to be before Daryl Henderson comes back. I don't think his injury is that serious. With a run of health, Daryl Henderson at 15 would absolutely be in my thoughts as well. But with Hubbard, he's in there because, again, we've spoke about it on every pod we've done so far, Mark, and on this one for that matter, but at 9.5, he's an enabler elsewhere in my team. And I like that I can move him to Dalton Schultz at 9.5 and then move Hockenson to either a 15 mil or less receiver or potentially an emerging running back. You know, Kareem Hunt, is Kareem Hunt sustainable?
I don't know
because he gets the thing is you're going to have up and down weeks with Kareem Hunt, aren't you? Because he gets work out of the backfield that Chubb doesn't, and there's not a lot there at the moment in Cleveland with Landry going down. There's not a lot in the receiving game. He is almost like a third receiver for them. So, you know, it's two high weeks of 17.1, 27.5. You're probably not going to see that from him every week. But 14.5, again, he's someone who I probably wouldn't mind spending that to get him in my team because of the format being PPR. You know he's going to get targets and you know he's going to get some of the work out of the backfield as well. I just don't think his scoring's not going to be sustainable week on week. He's probably going to have peaks and troughs, Kareem Hunt, I think it's fair to say. But yeah, Chuba Hubbard, I think, as an enabler at 9.5, it's fairly low risk. And the times where McCaffrey's not been on the field, he has been. And there isn't really anything else behind him. So I'm happy to run with that. Obviously, it's a playbook that is built around Christian McCaffrey there in Carolina, so hopefully that'll mean involvement for Hubbard as well. Rounding it off, Matt, with the defense. So I know that we've gone fairly cheap on the defense so far. That option is still there, but I do like what I'm seeing out of the Denver Broncos. So 10 million, it's 0.5 more than what I spent last time on my defense, which was 9.5. But a good run of games coming up. The Ravens at home, Steelers on the road. Ben Roethlisberger looks like he's on the verge of joining a Kerr home. I don't know about getting back on the field. It just looks like the most immobile quarterback that I've ever seen at the moment. His arm looks like it's gone. So they've got the Steelers in week 5, then the Raiders, the Browns, the Washington football team, the Cowboys, the Eagles. It's not an amazing run of games, I wouldn't say, but I don't think it's a bad run of games. And so far, they've come up against fairly easy opposition in the Giants, the Jags and the Jets. But they do look a good defense there in Denver. And they look like one of the better defenses at 10 million. Could I go a little bit cheaper? Obviously, yes, I could. The Bears is one of the defenses I spoke about earlier in the season at 9.5. The Bengals are a little bit of a surprise for me at 9 mil. They're there with 23 points at the moment. Again, not an awful run of games coming up. They've got the Jags, the Packers, the Lions, the Ravens, the Jets. So if I do choose to go cheap, it's somewhere like that I'll be going. But for the time being, I'm tempted to just stick it out on the Denver Broncos D at 10 million. I do like what I've seen so far. They look capable of turning the ball over.
Yeah, I think more so than maybe other positions, so this is true of them all, is that because we only have 3 weeks of scoring, one monster week is slightly skewing the scores and stuff. And that's particularly true, I think, of defenses because it's so variable. Now, it just happens that these teams, which are at the top of the defense list at the moment, this might be their best 3 weeks of the year.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, if you've got the money and you feel comfortable with them, then fine, go for it. You just mentioned about Big Ben, I would be, if I had sort of spare transfers, I'd be targeting Pittsburgh every week with the defense because he's just giving opportunities, isn't he, at the moment? Mm. So it's Green Bay this week. So it's a good team. I'm interested to see how this other one's going to pan out though, because it's not, other than Mahomes, you've spread your money pretty evenly. And which is quite interesting because neither was like that at the beginning of the year, but that's clearly become the way to go, I think.
Well, I will tell you that the only other changes in the other team, it's me that's being the technophobe this week, not taking the screenshot of it, but the only other changes were Patrick Mahomes down to Matt Stafford. So that freed up 2 million there. And with that 2 million, I was going, well, it actually gives me a million left over, but I was going Eckler to Derrick Henry. Okay. So it would read exactly the same, but with Matt Stafford over Mahomes and Derrick Henry over Eckler. And I might still go that route, but I go back to the point of I like having the flexibility to target whatever quarterback I want.
Yeah.
And even though the funds would still be there, I'd then be tempted, once the funds are there, I'd be tempted to put the funds elsewhere. And then that backs you into a bit of a corner. So yeah, I think of the two, I'd probably be more likely to roll with this one. My fear with Derrick Henry is he's got some really appealing games coming up against the Jets, the Jags, Bills, Chiefs, Colts. Those next two especially, I fear not owning him in those games. So is there a way that I could potentially get to... Is there a way I could potentially get to Derrick Henry without sacrificing Mahomes?
You've got half a million at the moment, haven't you?
Yeah, so...
Reduce your defence down by a million?
That is the option. That is the option, yeah. So the option could be Denver to Cincinnati, for example.
Yeah.
And then Eckler to Derrick Henry. That could be another way that I go. That could be the way. You've solved the math problem there for me, Mark.
It's just because I don't respect defences enough to pay $10 million for them. That's all it is. Yeah. The good thing about keeping Eckler rather than, say, Henry is ownership, because I think Henry's ownership is going to balloon this week with the McCaffrey injury, and Eckler's is 5%. Funny enough, if you at the moment Mahomes and Eckler's, because that was your two changes there, Mahomes and Eckler's ownership percentages are the same. Yeah. Stafford's and Henry's now, but I suspect Stafford and Henry is going to go up.
Yeah,
sort of Henry because of Henry. So that's another way of doing though. But you've got quite. I find it weird that Mike Williams is still only 4%. He'll obviously go up a bit this week, I think, but that does surprise me.
Yeah.
And obviously, Hubbard's at 0%. I'm guessing there, is he?
Zero as it stands, yeah. But again, it wouldn't surprise me if a percentage of those that are on McCaffrey just move straight to Hubbard at 9.5 and then use the funds elsewhere to upgrade at receiver or upgrade at quarterback.
Maybe Kelsey will go up. He's 25% at the moment, though, so it's got quite a way. He hasn't got much of a way to grow.
Yeah.
You've got me thinking about a few changes as well now. I'm thinking about not changing out Mixon and instead putting in Josh Allen. I know that's me convincing you, convincing me. But that's how I'm thinking now.
You have made a compelling case for Josh Allen, to be fair, Mark, on this.
Yeah, just look at the fixtures as much as anything.
You've given me... I mean, we're recording this on a Tuesday. Lockdown. Lineups lock on... That is what COVID has done to me. Lineups lock on a Thursday. So I've still got 2 days to deliberate. And what I would say is what you've seen on the show today certainly isn't the finished article. I am wildcarding this week, and that is what I'm proposing at the moment. But what I will do is share my lineup on Twitter at Nick of Wigan before the deadline. So you'll see exactly how it's ended up. You'll see on next week's show anyway exactly how it's ended up, probably in tears.
It's going to be Tom Brady and somebody we've not even talked about, isn't it? It's going to end up like...
It's going to be Tyler Heinicke. It's going to be MVP Heinicke coming in at quarterback.
23 points this week at 8.5 million.
Not bad at all.
It's not the good play ways to start a wild card. I know we've done that, and I've definitely done that on one of my other wild cards.
Yeah, I think one of my lower performing teams, I've done exactly the same, almost as an experiment.
So in breaking news, I can fit in Allen and Henry instead of Murray and McCaffrey. And because Cincinnati are playing Jacksonville this week, which should be a pretty nice game, maybe I will keep Mixon for this week and do that change. Because the Murray fixtures look awful. You say them, and Josh Allen's just do not, and he's only 6% at the moment. Josh Allen,
That's so low. That's
I know.
Very
I mean,
low.
I think it will go up because he had a slow start and stuff, but it mitigates a little bit of the Henry ownership and stuff. Mixon is really low still. So, yeah, I think, yep, I need a new graphic now. That's it. That's what I'm doing now. I've changed my mind. After all of that talk, I've changed my mind completely.
Well, obviously, there are moving parts with this. We know that the deadline is only Thursday, but make sure you do lock your team in by Thursday at the very latest. I will share my wildcard team on Twitter, Mark, before the deadline. You can always share your newly constructed lineup on there as well once this goes live, so people know what the end product is.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Josh Allen and Derek Henry now.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I've got a couple of days to think.
Yeah, and that is the beauty of it, is we have still got a few days. It's also a curse because the changes we could make could kill us come Sunday. But yeah, that is where I'm at, Mark. Wildcard week for me. I'm looking forward to it being wildcard week for you, but I get the feeling with the changes that you've just mentioned there that wildcard's probably not anywhere near close on the horizon unless there was catastrophic injury.
Yeah, indeed. No, I think I've got my next 2 weeks of moves planned out now. You know, next week we'll do Ridley and Mixon, assuming that Ridley doesn't show a bit of life. So, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Well, you can catch us on Twitter at Nick of Wigan. And where can the listeners find yourself, Mark?
@_SMRF.
Obviously, if you are watching the video, you will see that down here. One thing I would say is if you missed the start of the show, if you do ask any questions on this feed, this is pre-recorded. We are not live. We may be live again next week, baby dependent for me, of course. But we may be live next week. So it might be a case that if we do get listener questions in next week, we have another segment like we did last week on that. Good to mix it up a little bit, I think, Mark, on that. Pearl of wisdom, of course, to sign the pod off by Pitsy. We were a little bit unsure about last week's. The week before was an absolute cheese fest. So, Pitsy, thank you very much for this. Here's to good health, and with Fan Team, good wealth.